ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय जय श्री चेतना, जय नितानंद, जय अद्वैत चंद्र, जय गौरवक्त वृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हे मत गौरस्यामे दन हे तेला तेली स्वरते श्यामे रके गौर महाबली, मत गौर श्याम धन हे तेला तेली स्वरते श्यामे रके गौर महाबली,
ट्रांसलेशन just to bring you up to where the verse of today is. It this is about the Lord's dancing at the Ratha Yatra festival, where the Lord danced before the carts and sometimes fell back so that Lord Jagannath could not see the ecstatic dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, who was leading Krishna back to Vrindavan. And it's described how he danced by Raghunath Das Goswami. He would have one hand up like this and another hand on his hip, a gesture which is very typical for the gopis of Braj. And he would in this way entice his Lord to come and follow him back to Vrindavan, the kingdom of love. And sometimes he fell behind. So at that moment, Lord Jagannath stopped his cart, wanting to see again Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radha, showing the way to Vrindavan. So this is a very deep subject matter, which for the older devotees is very, very well known, but for the younger devotees a little, let me say, deep, is alluded here, and we will hear now the verse and also the purport, which goes deeper into the this esoteric significance of Ratha Yatra. Thus, there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. In other words, when he was in the back, the cart had to stop. Lord Jagannath had to wait. Purport. After giving up the company of the gopis in Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, engaged in his pastimes at Dwaraka. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister and others from Dwaraka, he again met the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalita. That is, he is Krishna himself assuming the part of Srimati Radharani in order to understand Krishna. Lord Jagannath Dev is Krishna and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leading Lord Jagannath towards Gundicha temple corresponded to Srimati Radharani's leading Krishna toward Vrindavan. Sri Chetra Jagannath Puri was taken as the kingdom of Dwaraka, the place where Krishna enjoys supreme opulence. However, he was being led by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, the simple village where all the inhabitants are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. Sri Chetra is a place of Aishwarya Lila, just as Vrindavan is the place of Madhurya Lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's following at the rear of the Rath indicated that Lord Jagannath Krishna was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Although Krishna neglected the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he could not forget them. Thus, in his opulent Ratha Yatra, he was returning to Vrindavan in the role of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind the Rath car, Jagannath Deva, Lord Krishna himself, understood the mind of Srimati Radharani. Mind was, Radharani wanted to test, do you care for me? Do you notice that I'm no longer leading, that I'm now behind you, that I'm not visible to you? Do you notice this? Jagannath noticed. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate to Srimati Radharani that he had not forgotten. Thus, Lord Jagannath would wait on the Rath for their forward march. In this way, Lord Jagannath agreed that without the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he could not feel satisfied. While Jagannath was thus waiting, Guru Sundara Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, immediately came forward. It means he came from behind the cart, forward, to Krishna. At such times, Lord Jagannath would proceed ahead very slowly. These competitive exchanges were all part of the love affair between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. In that competition, between Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy for Jagannath and Jagannath's ecstasy for Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerged successful. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this, Prabhupada described the Jagannath Kart festival as a feeling festival, hinting at the supreme wealth of the Vaishnavas, the ocean of nectar, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of rasa, which is always full of an astonishment to those who behold this ocean of spiritual emotions, and it's ever fresh. He described it as a feeling festival. And here in this purport, he says why it is so feelingly, why it is so full of feeling. It is because here Srimati Radharani is bringing out her feelings of affection for the Lord to the absolute climatic condition where she is bringing him back. There is one very nice leela, how the inhabitants felt when they, of Vrindavan, felt when they saw Lord Krishna after a long, long period of absence. After all, Lord Krishna stayed so long away from Vrindavan that the inhabitants of Vrindavan actually withered away in feelings of separation. Now this is a little deceiving because separation in this world is a state of despair where the personality from whom one feels separate is absolutely absent. There is no connection. This is a very difficult situation. Love of Godhead is always different than the feelings of this world. It is said that when a devotee feels vipralamba or separation, externally it may appear that there is a separation, but internally that separation is not there. Internally, the person from whom the devotee feels separated enters the core of the heart and is associating from within the heart. Therefore, this feeling of separation is said to be the unique gift of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, because it very, very quickly points out that there is no separation. The Lord comes into the heart of the devotee who feels an eagerness for his presence and therefore feels separated. And in this way, separation is not there. Anyways, the devotees in Vrindavan felt very separated from Krishna. And when they had heard that Lord Krishna had come with his relatives and his subjects from Dwaraka to observe the auspicious bathing during the eclipse in Kurukshetra, they came to Kurukshetra. Krishna had earlier said to Narada Muni, I will go with my people to Kurukshetra to take a bath and invite everyone except the residents of Vrindavan. So Narada Muni's first journey was to Vrindavan, and he told the devotees who were really only living in separation, Krishna is coming only 70 kilometers from here. Everyone is invited except for you. Now this was as if fire was thrown into petroleum. I think you can well imagine. We have today some guests from the Adriatic coasts, and very regularly all the forests there are burned away when someone just looks in an angry mood towards the leaves in the forest. It's the little heat there will immediately incinerate the whole forest, and it will go up in flames. So when Narada Muni made the statement, everyone is invited except for you, this was very intense for the residents of Vrindavan, and it arose their feelings of love to the climatic condition. It just flared up. Krishna is ours. We will go there. What right does he have to not invite us? Ananda Maharaj and Yashoda he's our son. We don't need an invitation to go to our son. And, a long, long caravan from Vrindavan came towards Kurukshetra with all the with Nanda Maharaj and the elders, the Yashoda Ma and the elderly gopis with the cowherd boys, and also the gopis followed. In fact, also the ox came and the cows came. It was a long, long caravan. And I heard this from when they arrived in Kurukshetra. Krishna was engaged in a yajna. He was there on the in the yajnic fire, and there was a huge military surrounding so that no one would disturb the yajna. It was actually a camp with four gates, and the Krishna's dearest devotees came to one gate. They came from all four gates. First, the gatekeeper saw some cowherd boys coming, and the cowherd boys asked, is Krishna inside? Yes, he's inside, and the order is no one can see him. He's engaged in a yajna. You are cowherders. You stay. No. He's our friend. he doesn't associate with people like you from the coward community, said the guards. The coward boy said, no, we were wrestling. He's not wrestling. For wrestling, he is restless. No, but we... And they remembered some other pastime, but the guards didn't know anything about it. And they took their lances and pierced and just closed the gate and said, go with your claims. It's not right. And the cowherd boys sat down. They had come to see Lord Krishna, but they couldn't see him, so they cried. Then at another gate, the gopis were coming. They were trying to convince the gatekeepers to come in. I don't know if you have ever tried this, to see a famous person and then you meet his guards. Oh, it's utterly frustrating. We often try to see some famous rock and roll star, and we try to break in to the backstage area with cakes and with this and that. I mean, in the past I did it. Now I'm too old for this, but you can't get through. You know, you can say, but we brought this food. It is becoming stale if we cannot now bring it. And so, no. No one is allowed here. So-and-so is too famous to see you. So this was the answer. The gopis came out and they said, Krishna inside there? Yes, said the guards. But he has ordered that this is he's only with the brahmanas there. It's a very important yagya. You cannot see him. But Krishna's our friend. We spent long nights together. What? Don't say this immoral thing. Long nights? Who do you think you are, you simple village people? Long nights with the king? You must be belonging to this unusual people who came from to the other gods and who claimed that they were friends of the king. They were dressed in shabby garments of cowherd boys. And you, are you from the same place? Please. And they put the lances down. You can't cross over here. Now from another gate, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda came. Is Krishna inside? Yes. Don't say that you are related in some ways. There are some disturbance makers here. They come from a place called Vrindavan. We never heard about it. They claim that Krishna is very close to them. Yashoda looked at Nanda Maharaj and started to cry. Now at this time, the brahmanas were pouring the ghee, and they were guiding Krishna's hands, who was sitting there somewhat uninterested, because deep thoughts were in his mind. We have once seen this brahmanas guiding an uninterested person's hand who didn't believe so much in this. It was during the inauguration of the Krishna Balaram temple, when these brahmanas were helping Prabhupada to make the yagya. Prabhupada commented that if he would not have invited Bridge or these brahmanas from the area, the locals would not have accepted the authenticity of the Krishna Balaram temple. But he looked clearly bored as the brahmanas guided his hand, and he was really not fully there. That was so Krishna's hand was guided by the Brahmanas. And he was deeply absorbed in some other thoughts. So meanwhile, Yashoda looked helplessly. She heard the commotion inside, and she knew her boy is in there. And she said, it broke just out, but Krishna is my son. Aparat, aparat, said the guards. Devaki and Vasudev are the parents of Krishna. How do you dare to claim, to make such a claim? You must be belonging to the same people. Just don't disturb, please. It is a religious ceremony. Don't. This was too much for Yashoda. She broke down and she cried the name which she used to call Krishna by. It's a loving name. Kanai, 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 means my little boy. Now there was a huge, remember the Brahmanas were coming to the crescendo. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanahitaya. That was really loud. But there was this sound of love coming from Yashoda. The sound pierced through all the loudness, all the rattle of the cards. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. And it came, this sound came, fell on Krishna's ears. And his parents were there, so-called parents, Devaki and Vasudev. Krishna was becoming sidetracked. He heard his mother, Yashoda Ma, calling for him. And all of a sudden, he could not contain his role as the prince, the beloved prince of Dwaraka. That sound became just so intense in his heart that his form changed into the little boy Krishna, who was only dressed with a rope around his waist. And he began to, the turban fell. He began to jump up. Everyone saw some mystical scene. And he ran through the crowd, calling, Mother, Mother, Mother. He ran through the gate, and he jumped on the lap of Yashoda. He sat there, and he comforted his mother. And in this way, he responded. He responded to the call of the most intense love. I would like to make this point a little clear, because then you will only understand the significance of the Ratha Yatra Leela by giving you a little example from my own preaching experience in Zurich. I was preaching to a lady. She had a son, and I had requested her, it was an important talk, your child should be somewhere else, because it's a new child and you will always look for the child and not understand. You put her in the child in some room, and then we can discuss for 10 minutes. And so I was talking, and secretary was doing his work, I was preaching to the woman. All of a sudden, something happened in her. She looked just very, very disturbed. Now this has happened many times to me, that I've said the wrong thing at the wrong time. She jumped up. Now this was really, I was thinking, what have I said? And she opened the door, banged the door, and ran down the stairs. I opened the door and I wanted to say sorry, but please explain yourself. But I heard another door being opened and then bang. I thought, my God, I don't even know what I do wrong. Then only 2 minutes later, the lady was back in the room smiling, and there was a little child on her arm smiling and going like this towards me, pointing like this towards me. And I said, I'm happy you're back. Have I said something wrong, you know? Have I hurt your feeling? You look happy, apparently. He said, No, Maharaj. My child was just waking up, and she was calling for me, so I wasn't... Acha? I said, but how could you hear it? There was a big Swiss door. Swiss doors are not like English doors. It was thick like this, you know, not these imitation doors. It was really a door. She had heard it through that door. It was with metal and everything. Really a door. And oak tree wood and, you know, really a good door. Isolated against noise. And then down was another of this door. She had heard it through two doors. And she had responded out of her motherly affection, because there was some loving relationship between the mother and the child, especially the very small child. It is very deep, this emotions. And she had heard it. And I said, how could you hear it? I mean, you cannot hear anything through these doors. The mother said, you will never understand this. This is the mother radio frequency. It is very, very good working. It's a frequency of love for you, but you are a man. You cannot understand. Thank you very much for this very, very nice thing you have told me. But where do you hear it? Can you just... It's not through the ear, Maharaj. You hear it here somehow. I can't explain it. I'm an unphilosophical woman, but I can hear it in the heart. That is all I can say. Buzz. So I thought this is a very nice description. We have heard that the love for the mother is the love of the mother for the child is what is closest to love of Godhead. This unselfish and very deep and existential love. Very, 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 very important. So, and I could understand from this that how much the divine love, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, must be, how many secrets must be in that ocean of feelings, of emotions. So Krishna heard Yashoda, although by physical laws, it must have been so loud with the Brahmanas chanting and all the noise of the military encampment and all the hubble and bubble going on in that huge religious festival of Kurukshetra. But he heard and he responded, and that was so loud, that whimper of Yashoda, that helpless Oganai was so loud that he responded and left everything behind. His turban even fell. It must be a royal turban. And he ran, and it was, he didn't care for anything else. So you can hear now, you can now understand a little bit the compelling force of the love of Godhead, the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And from this you can understand why Lord Jagannath was really not able to move forward when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radha, the mood of the resident, the most dearest devotee, fell behind. And you can now understand how Lord Jagannath had to wait for Srimati Radharani to lead the way. He could not ignore. In Puri, this is still going on in the present time. Sometimes the devotees try to pull the cart, and I think 2 years ago, the cart, not only that it didn't move, which happens quite frequently, but the cart went away from the road and came towards the new lighting lantern. And the devotees tried to pull it away from the lantern, but it just rolled towards the lantern, so that the lantern blocked the path of the cart. And Lord Jagannath wanted to have a pretext to not move any longer, because something was going on which we humans can't see. The call of love was going on, pulling him towards Vrindavan. The announcer became quite intense. He said, "Jagannath, don't do this. Just stay on the path, please, won't you?" In Orissa, they are quite familiar with the Lord. They say, "Don't be so drunken. Be rational. This is a parade." And they talked in the Orissan closeness to Lord Jagannath, because he is the Lord of love. He could not. Anyway, so this is, I wanted to now go into a description which you all know. I have to look now at the time. Now I want to now give you a description of the wonderful dancing of Lord Jagannath from or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm sorry. He had come out, Lord Jagannath had come out of the temple, and Maharaj Pratapa Rudra had swept the cart, the way before the cart, and now Lord Jagannath's cart moved. It looked like a big mountain, the mountain of Sumeru, very awe-inspiring. When you come before a sacred mountain like the mountain of Kailash, or another sacred mountain, Giriraj, the most sacred mountain. It's awe-inspiring by their presence. These mountains have always inflamed the religious sentiments of people. So the cart looked like this. There were bright mirrors hanging. There were chamara flakes, which moved a little in the breeze, the best of breezes which came from the ocean to serve the Lord. There were various pictures on the cart, brass bells and gongs and ankle bells. It sounded very, very romantic. For 15 days, the Lord had been in a secluded place in the big mandir of Nilachal. He had been with Lakshmi, and then with her permission he had left Lakshmi to go on his excursion to Braj, to Vrindavan. There was fine white sand strewn on the road, so that it looked like the bank of the Yamuna. And there were gardens on the side of the road, which reminded the Lord of Vrindavan. And he was ready for his love excursion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came now before the cart of Lord Jagannath. He had earlier seen Lord Jagannath, and it was not possible for him to turn the eyes away from the beautiful white eyes of Lord Jagannath. And now, I have to wake up some of you who are asleep. Don't sleep. An ecstatic part comes. I can also take cartels if you want, or do something extraordinary so that you will have rumors. But I will wake you up in some ways, because now you need to listen. No, you are meditating, Acha. Now it will get a little ecstatic, and we need this as a movement. We need some ecstasy in our heart so that the stress and the worries leaves us, and we can start to smile bright-faced, as Srila Prabhupada always wanted us to be and described us to be. We are not always so bright-faced, unfortunately, because some ecstasy needs to come, some feelings of affection, some feelings of gratitude, something. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now worshipped not Lord Jagannath. He worshipped the devotees of the Lord. He personally gave them garlands, and he covered the body with cooling sandalwood paste so that it would be very fresh and very, very cooling. And then the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked on the devotees and made Sankirtan parties. Seven Sankirtan parties he divided from the group, and it's nice for those who go on Sankirtan to know how he divided them. There was always a chief dancer, a chief singer. There were four medangas in each party, two medangas in each party, and cartels were there, wampas, and he arranged all the Sankirtan parties around the cart of Lord Jagannath. All Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees were staying there. There were four parties in the front. Srivas was the chief man of one party. There was the dancer Advaita Acharya, imagine, with his beard and with his cloth, how he must have danced. It must have looked as if he's flying at times. When we saw these wonderful paintings of Mahaprabhu's dance, it really looks that he is flying, and we hear actually from the Chaitanya Bhagavat that he would sometimes dance in such a way that it looked like a fire brand. You could not see, in other words, any distinct features. When you have fire and you turn it like this in the night, you see only one a blazing circle. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so fast that he was a blazing circle of light. Nityananda was there also. And now the dancing started. First Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed his internal potency. He himself was lost in ecstasy and not conscious how his energies worked, but he divided himself in seven forms and danced not in one form but in seven forms before the wrath of Lord Jagannath. Some could see it by his mercy. I heard that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could see, the king could see, And I was almost fainting. Imagine Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in seven forms dancing like this. And he then stopped. And he sang prayers before the card. Please join into these prayers if you are familiar with them. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha Jayati Jayati Devo Divaki Nandano So Jayati Jayati Krishno Vrishnivamsa Pradipa Jayati Jayati Mega Shyamala Komalango Jayati Jayati Prithvi Bharanasho Mukunda. He would pray all glories unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's known as the Son of Devaki. Devaki can also mean Yashoda. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the light of the dynasty of Vrishni. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily luster is like that of a new cloud, and whose body is as soft as a lotus flower. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet to deliver the world from the burden of demons, and who can offer liberation to everyone. Now, all of you look distracted. Why? I will change now the tune. You will now see a fiery lecturer in action who wants to give you a present. Why do these leelas not move our hearts? One reason could be that we have heard them so often. And the mind is like this. When we hear something very often, the material mind, who always wants enjoyment and does not really want spiritual enlightenment. I mean, the ego doesn't want it, because it means it has to give up its dominion over us. The mind switches off. When you hear something which you have heard before, the mind switches off. This becomes especially painful when you hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The mind has heard it very often, and unless you train the mind to chant, the mind will switch off. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, same song. Same again, same. How do you always bring the same subject before me? Don't you have some variety to offer? The mind is like this, the material mind. Now, as you come to the spiritual practice of hearing about Krishna, it's not only that the mind switches off, but the ego goes into your way. This is especially so if you try to chant extra rounds. We are sometimes doing japa retreats where we train devotees to chant with taste, that's our desire, more than 64 rounds. And there is this time as you chant. By the way, 64 rounds in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times was the minimum. It's not a controversial number. It's an authentic number. For us now who are preaching, 16 rounds is the minimum. But at the time when the preaching movement was as such not so, as not everyone was preaching, Mahaprabhu demanded of his devotees to chant 64 rounds. He would not accept food from anyone who did not offer this Naam Seva. So on our Japa retreat, we sometimes try to bring devotees back into the Chaitanya times so that they can just get a feeling of chanting extra rounds. And there is a time which everyone knows, it's a time when the ego just does not want to continue chanting. You feel very restless. You feel like almost your tongue gets blocked and becomes like a stick of wood and doesn't want. Your whole mechanism does not want this. Because, my dear devotees, going back to Godhead is for many of us still something which we don't think regularly about. Something which is not very realistic for us. Something which we think is not very realistic for us. And as a result, it's very, very difficult to do something which is only possible in utter surrender to the Lord. It's very difficult for us. Our ego does not want to allow us to get out of our normal path, so to say, our normal way of thinking. And it creates an obstacle to this. In one of the Puranas, there is this story which you might have heard, that this sadhu wants to build a big, big temple for the Lord. And no one supports him with a donation. So he prays to the Lord, "Please come, please help me to do the temple." And the Lord appears and says, "What is the problem?" And he says, "No one gives a donation." "Yes," said the Lord, "you can bless the Lord, the people. I give you a special benediction that they can go back home, back to Godhead without complicated sadhana." And then the Lord smiles, his mysterious smile, and disappears. It's one of, so the sadhu thinks, "Now I have it. I can give such a blessing." And he runs with joy and meets a freshly married couple. "Stop! I have good news for you. You can go back home, back to Godhead, without a complicated sadhana." The couple says, "You come at the wrong time. We have just married. We want to see our son. Go to our parents. They are sufficiently frustrated with life." So he follows that lead and goes to the address of the parents. But the parents say, "You should not come with this subject now. Finally, our good-for-nothing son has married, and we are waiting for our grandson." Oh, the sadhu begins to understand the blessings which he has received from the Lord is not very, very suitable for collecting donations. So he waits. He waits for 2 months until finally news comes that there was a person who had a terrible accident. He's bandaged all over with Ayurvedic herbs. And he goes to the place, the place, and he says to the man who is on the brink of death, "Now you will get your blessing. Just give a little donation for the new temple. You can go back to Godhead without complicated sadhana." The man looks at him and he says, "Here is your donation. But pray for me that I can stay in this world. Just before the accident, I had a very promising business deal. I need to see it come through. Don't pray that I leave this world. Pray that I stay in this world." Sadhu is utterly frustrated. He takes the donation. He goes. He sits down and he cries. And the Lord appears before him. "Why do you cry?
No one wants to go back home, back to Godhead. So bad.
The Lord smiles and says, but, okay, but you are a sadhu. What is about you? You know the value of this back to Godhead project. Oh, it's not a good time now. I have to build this ashram to spread your glories. Who will spread your glories if not me? Huh? I have to stay here. The Lord smiles his smile and disappears. And as the sadhu turns more and more materialistic, he begins to preach, you can go back to Godhead, but according to your choice. This is the end of my story. I hope you are inspired by it. My dear devotees, we need to think about ultimate things. We need to, because then only surrender becomes not a word which inspires fear in our heart. But then only when we think about Krishna, going to Krishna, this very important project of Sharanagati, of surrender, becomes something which we wish to do. Vishvambhar Prabhu has told me to give a pep talk on Sankirtan. It's forbidden, but I will do it nevertheless. I'm joking. See, if we wish to enter the realm of surrender, we need to think about this project of going back home, back to Godhead. And this project, this life project, only makes sense when we utterly want to go there. You only want to go to a place where you feel love is waiting for you. No one wishes to go to a place where you feel you are not welcome and no love is waiting for you. Even as human beings, I thought, let me go to London because there are devotees whom I know and whom I have not seen for long, so they don't know about my bad qualities, which I have, they have no. So I felt, let me go and they will all come and greet and we will say, oh Gauri Prabhu, how are you? And we will say, oh Kripa Maya Prabhu, do you remember how we went to Nuremberg for the Namhata program? And I will remember Dira Prashanta, oh Dira Prashanta, do you remember in Finland how we came with Gauranga Bhajan group? And we this loving exchange or affectionate exchange is there, especially, unfortunately, especially when we have not seen each other for a long time. You go to a place where you know some loving affection is waiting. So it is important for us to not fall asleep when we hear about Bhakti and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is about love of Godhead. It is important for us to hear sufficiently about this and become inspired. And this Ratha Yatra festival is therefore so utterly inspiring. Yes, Ratha Yatra has a sociological dimension. Sociologists can tell you that it's a need for the human being to do the worship in a big gathering of people. Then one feels validated on his path. So Ratha Yatra has this social dimension, because really everyone comes and feels strength. Oh, I am part of this big group. This is very encouraging for me. But beyond group dynamics, which are there ever in all cultures and not only in religious cultures, you know, I come from a country where another group dynamic brought many people together. Beyond group dynamics, it's very important for a single for each single devotee to enter this dimension which Prabhupada called the feeling dimension. Ratha Yatra, he said, is a very feeling festival. It's where the call of love from the devotee reaches the Lord's ear, and the Lord has to respond. He comes when out of the temple, the majestic temple, and he goes to the kingdom of Vrindavan and so on. I feel for a person who goes to the Ratha Yatra, he should also try to make his call to Lord Jagannath as he rides on his chariot and is drunken with pleasure and so joyful. One should make his call to the Lord and pray to the Lord sufficiently from the heart to enter another temple, that is the temple of our own heart. That's why these prayers are so very, very, very suitable, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed before the cart of Lord Jagannath. His last prayer was, you all know it, please chant it with me. Naham vipro nachap narapatir napo vaishyo nashudro naham vani nachagriha patir novanasto yatirva kinto prodyanni kila paramananda punam ritabde gopir bhatu padakamalayo dasa dasa nudasa. I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, not a Sudra, nor am I a Brahmachari, a householder, a Vanaprastha. I'm not even a Sannyasi. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing with brilliance. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much. I had to change my lecture. I had so many subjects, but I noticed your need to hear something else. Thank you. Do you have any questions? We have 10 more minutes. Yes, Mala Hari Prabhu.
Maharaj, you mentioned that the Lord gave the sadhu a benediction that people could go back to the spiritual world without the need of complicated sadhana. You later mentioned that the individual needs to summon the Lord by the call of love from their heart.
Wonderful question. It's a wonderful question, Smara Hari Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you. So the devotee has no love in the heart, but he has done extraordinary service, and the spiritual master blesses him to now go back to Godhead without a complicated sadhana. That is the situation.
I'm not saying complete,
fully blessed love. Okay, thank you very much. Smara Hari Prabhu's question is very, very important. It brings us to a dimension in Krishna consciousness which is very amazing. Srila Prabhupada has written in one purport that especially in going back to Godhead, in spiritual advancement, he says, especially in the matter of spiritual advancement, blessings are more important than own endeavor. That is in the Bhagavatam, in the section where Bali Maharaj, I mean, for the answer, I really need to tell you this. Bali Maharaj is again confronting Indra. It's an interesting little episode. I will tell it very briefly. Bali had waged one battle against Indra, and he was absolutely destroyed. Even his body was only a heap of smoldering ashes. He was there on the battlefield. Sukracharya saw him and he thought, he's a little demoniac but at the moment, but he has a good core. And he revived him and gave him back his body. And then Bali came up and he said, revenge. Revenge is sweet. And he wanted to make another battle against Indra and this time defeat him. But he went and became a menial servant of Shukracharya for 1 year. And then, after 1 year, he rounded up an army, a small army, and he confronted Indra. And when Indra saw them coming, he asked Brihaspati, this Bali is again up in arms against me. And I can see by his effulgence that this time I stand no chance against him. How has he become so extremely powerful? Brihaspati said, I think he has gotten the blessings of the descendants of Bhrigupati, alluding to the parampara of Shukracharya and to the blessings of the Guru. The Prabhupada takes this subject away from Puranic battle stories into our lives and said, especially for spiritual advancement, the blessings are more important than endeavor, because by endeavor, Bali had already failed. So now he was victorious and he took the throne of Indra because he was blessed. So by blessings, really everything is possible, Smarahari Prabhu. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam ahang vande shigurum dinataranam. The speakers often say this verse, which says, by the blessings of the spiritual master, man with stultified legs, what is a paralyzed man, layman, can cross over mountains. The blind man can see the stars on the sky, and a fool, and a dumb person, can become an eloquent speaker. Dumb means his intellectual capacity is not very impressive, or is it? He has a speak problem. A dumb man can become an eloquent speaker. So blessings can really do that. And I really believe that in Prabhupada's, that in our ISKCON movement, that this is a very, very important line of advancement. There are now other movements which preach Gaudiya Vaishnavism, many, and they engage sometimes in complicated, they often hold our movement, they want to pull us by the neck and say, you also know this complicated talk on higher things, and sometimes we don't know. We feel that by the power of blessing is more important. I have seen this in my own life, Smarahari Prabhu. Prabhupada wrote me personally, if you chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regulative principles to the end of your life, I notice it can be a challenge to chant 16 rounds on busy days. But if you do that every day, you will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. This is a blessing. This is a blessing to an unqualified person, really. So the blessings are very, very important. And things can happen by these powerful blessings, which we can collect. There are pure devotees, like every morning we see one, Tulasi Devi, and we circumambulate her by the blessings of Tulasi. We understand we can love of Godhead. Nayane hiribo sada yuga rupa rasi. That blessing is possible, otherwise the song wouldn't be that way. Giriraj is there. Prabhupada is not a person of this world who dies. He's there and he can be connected by Swami. This is how it works. Thank you for your nice question. But I know, I'm so afraid here to go over time. Yesterday I went 30 seconds over time and they unplugged the microphone. It was so uncultured. I mean, they could have said it in the final kirtan.
No.
We are over time. Then some serious consequence might happen. The chandelier might be unleashed and fall on the head. Yesterday I really became afraid of overtimeness. So it's 30 seconds after 9. Please remain favorably inclined. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.